Welcome back to Friar Talk, everyone. Today, we're going to kind of give our first overview of what the Padres need to accomplish this offseason, what they need to do, what they need to get, their positional needs, kind of just an overall thought process on that. So I'll start it off. I'll kind of give you just the big picture of it, and then we'll kind of break it down. We'll go over all the different spots and kind of each share our opinions on what the Padres really have to strive to accomplish this offseason. So first off, the number one need is going to be starting pitching. And you might look and go, well, the Padres just came off of a year where they were basically had the best starting pitching in the entire league numbers-wise. They were super valuable. Well, you're losing Blake Snell. You might lose Michael Wacha. You might lose Seth Lugo. So if you don't have those guys, currently your rotation is a Yu Darvish who might not be pitching. He very well could be injured. Joe Musgrove and Pedro Avila, Nick Martinez. So it's not too pretty. So they need to add starting pitching. Now, there is both Lugo and Wacha have options. So there's that. So that's, brief starting pitching needs. Then you look at the bullpen. You're losing Josh Hader. You have Barlow. You have Suarez as kind of your main guys. But it's going to depend on, what do you want to do with that closer role? How are you going to kind of look at that? Now, Barlow was really good down the stretch. Robert Suarez is paid closer money, so I don't think they're going to go and spend big money in the bullpen. And I certainly hope they don't, because as we know, it has not worked out too well for this team up to this point, especially when you look at that Drew Pomeranz contract. Now, lastly, you kind of go to the, position-wise. Catcher, you have Campy. Maybe you bring back Gary Sanchez. Maybe you bring back someone else. I don't think you need to spend any money there. Third base, you got Machado. Shortstop, you got Xander Bogaerts. Second base, you got Ha-Sung Kim. Corner outfield, maybe not corner outfield, but you got Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, maybe Tatis moves to center. And then you have the positions of need that were really bad last year. Center field, where you have Trent Grisham. First base, where you have Jake Cronenworth. And DH, where you have Matt Carpenter. Now, notice that I said you need to figure out those positions, but I named a player at every single one of them. Well, there's guys making money at all of those positions, and they're all making over $5 million next year. So that is a spot where it's really interesting, because you have not enough production at those spots and the roster construction is just weird, but that's a need. So you look at it big picture real quick. You need probably three starting pitchers. If you're going to be safe, you need at least another high leverage bullpen arm, not to mention other decent arms in the pen, probably two more of those. And you need another catcher, probably not that important, but you need to upgrade first base, DH, and an outfield spot. Maybe it's right field, maybe it's left field, maybe it's center. We don't know where Juan Soto, because he could always kick back to right, but we don't really know if Fernando Tatis is going to move to center. If he moves to center, I think that helps a little bit with your lineup as well. But overall, those are the positions of need, and this is a team that maybe has probably at most $40 million to spend. So guys, figure it out. What do you guys think, huh? Like, what are your thoughts? I think that's what you need. That's what you need right there. Am I, Chase, missing anything? Is there any spot that you're like, hey, I think this guy, we can rock with him. That's okay. What are you kind of feeling on all those needs with being three starting pitchers? This is kind of ballpark. Three starting pitchers, two relievers, one backup catcher, a first base, a DH, and an outfielder.
I think we saw what Garrett Richards did last year, and if they want to bring him back for a cheaper contract, I think we can do that. I know we were talking about that before the stream. Josh Cooper. Bell is going to be in there. Cooper. Yeah. I said Richards, didn't I?
Chase dug into like his 2019.
Yeah, I said Richards, didn't I? Wow. I have been running on no sleep this week, so that's on me. But Garrett Cooper, I know Josh Bell was a name that we were throwing out there, and, we liked Josh Bell. He didn't have his best tenure on the Padres, but we still like his bat. We like him at first. He also can be a DH. He is a switch hitter. He provides power. So Garrett Cooper and him would be two great options to have, because if one is not playing first, one could be a DH and vice versa. It allows them to just take multiple days off. Someone's not fielding particularly well one week. Okay, cool. You throw another guy in there. And allows Cronenworth to be, a lefty DH if you need him to be, or just a utility infielder where, hey, you know what? Machado and Bogey are going to be 31, 32, and maybe they need a few extra rest days, and that's what you got Cronenworth for. And you know what? Someone goes down, you have Cronenworth on the bench, who is an MLB everyday, an everyday MLB player. And it just gives you a lot more depth. So I think signing those two would be a great move. You bring back Gary Sanchez. He did provide a lot of power at the plate. His defense wasn't as bad as it was made out to be. He made a lot of strides on the Padres, and he had a lot of clutch moments. It'd also give you a further DH in case one of those guys do go down. Or, you know, if you just wanted to bring back Cooper or Bell and then have Cronenworth be the backup first baseman and then have Sanchez be DH and catcher, you could do it in a lot of different ways. It just gives you depth. Center field, right field is kind of a little tricky. I know Preller wants to commit to Grish, but I see a lot more upside with having Azokar be the starting and having Grish kind of just be the backup. Just because, you know, hey, Grish has shown that he really doesn't have it. Yeah, he's shown flashes, but he's never putting it together. And it's been 3 years now. 2020, I would say, it's a short season. You can't really use that to be like, yeah, this is what this guy was. We've seen 2 years of him being, yeah, that is not what he is. And plus, you have a prospect banging on the doors of the MLB and Jackson Merrill, which, if you move Tatis over to center, you could have Merrill and Azokar and Grish basically as depth for right field. And Merrill could honestly also be depth for the infield too as well. I mean, that there's a lot of things you could do with that while only maintaining or adding two guys for catcher, DH, and first. And that's three spots right there that don't necessarily need an upgrade, but you could need to use the depth for. And I don't even know what to do pitching wise. you got a lot of money to spend there and a lot of spots to fill.
Yeah. You know, when you look at the 2020 Grisham offensive season, you definitely think like you could say the Dodgers aren't the only the Dodgers World Series ring isn't the only thing that was Mickey Mouse about that season, that was fake about that season. Because then you look at Grisham's offensive season, you say that was fake as hell too, because it was only a 60-game season in which he looked like a really productive player, and I fell for it. I thought Grisham was going to be like, oh yeah, this guy's like all-star caliber. This guy's going to be a good player. Gold glove defense. We also fell for the Dodgers saying they can, if they win the World Series next year, this one's valid. They haven't won anything. Grisham hasn't done anything. So, sorry, I had to throw the Dodgers in there. Because you know why. But yeah, as far as Trent Grisham goes, there definitely needs to be an improvement in the outfield. I don't know how they're going to do that. You know, there's a lot of spots that have to be filled. Yeah, so depth has to be the main thing. You guys will probably notice how we haven't mentioned a single star signing. And we will mention players as time goes on. We're just, you know, we want to figure out who we think is a good fit for the Padres, who we think the Padres should go after in terms of what rounds out their lineup the best and what rounds out the rotation the best. But the one thing that we probably won't emphasize is the signing of a star player. Do we want star players? Yeah, we want star players. The reality is we might not have enough money to sign a star player. The best bet might be Yamamoto, which I would love. I would love that signing. But outside of that, a star player might not be realistic. You're going to be looking at two or three starting pitchers that aren't top of the line, but they're depth, and that's exactly what we need. We're not going to be looking at Cody Bellinger, $25 million. That might cost the Padres too much. Do I want Cody Bellinger? Yeah, hell yeah. Jock Peterson might cost 16. Do I want Jock Peterson? Yeah, I don't know how realistic that is. So we're going to be looking at different bats. Josh Bell, hopefully. I know people have kind of soured on Josh Bell because of that 2.5-month stint with the Padres where, come on, we have to take things into account. He's adjusting to a new team. He's adjusting to one of the hardest hitting ballparks in all of baseball. And he wasn't even that bad. That's like the floor of what we got out of Josh Bell. That is the lowest point of what we got from Josh Bell is, I think, the lowest production he could give. And it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't Jake Cronenworth for his base type bad. You can't have Jake Cronenworth at first base. That's supposed to be one of the positions where you got guys hitting nukes over a 750 OPS for sure. And you didn't get that out of him. You haven't gotten that out of him 2 years in a row. You need to move him back to a position where you don't need that power. All the corner positions, you can't have him there. You need to have him either at second base, shortstop, probably not a center fielder. Where's he going to play? So overall, you need to be looking at that first base DH spot and saying, we need to get guys that can hit for power and that can provide value on a day-in, day-out basis at the plate, that can provide power at the plate. And we've seen Jake Cronenworth do it, but he hasn't done it in 2 years. His highest home run season is 23. And I'm not souring on Jake Cronenworth. Still by far one of my favorite players. But I'm just trying to be realistic on what the expectation is for him. We're looking more like, hey, this guy can be more of a depth piece, Chris Taylor type piece, than anything else. Hopefully he is that, because Chris Taylor was a very valuable part of the Dodgers in the past few years. And I don't know about this year, but we're looking at a guy that needs to be able to play multiple positions, maybe even learn a little bit of outfield, and bring value that way, because he's not bringing any value at first base. So in terms of what the blueprint is, blueprint should be sign. And I'm not going to like expect them to fill every hole, because there's not, I mean, other than a team or two, there's not a single team out there that you could say is a complete team. I would say that myself. But as far as the Padres go, the main priorities need to be starting pitching, two or three of them, an outfielder, and a DH/first baseman. Those are my top priorities, personally. A reliever, you could sign a really cheap one that, you know, could end up being a valuable piece. A catcher to go along with Luis Campusano would be great also. That might be another top priority, but there's things that the Padres have to do that they don't have a lot of money to spend on, and that's why we're not mentioning any stars.
And you're definitely not wrong in that case. We will talk about Shohei Ohtani, of course, but more for fun than any realistic part of it. We're gonna have an episode tomorrow out about Blake Snell, about just kind of, do we think he's gonna be back? But outside of those are kind of the big names. I think some pitchers, like there are some high end pitchers, you know, big names that we will just have to discuss, because the Padres might end up actually going after one of those guys. But unless there's like guys traded away, another thing we will discuss, because like that is something that you could free up money. And I brought up Jake Cronenworth, Trent Grisham as the first guys. As those are the guys that could potentially get moved. Like that is very likely. Grisham especially, and maybe bullpen arms. I don't know, maybe something like that. But like, you're going to have to move some money, and you're going to have to free up some money probably to even just like fill out a formidable rotation at this point. So that's, I think, the biggest thing is like, can you get a guy for kind of cheap? Can you get a guy on a bargain deal? Is Pedro Avila a guy that you actually can feel confident at coming in the year as your fifth starter? Are there any prospects that you're like, hey, if this guy has a really good spring, he can potentially come up and immediately be a 5-6 guy, kind of like how Mackenzie Gore was in his rookie year. And maybe you go and you kind of like, okay, there's two guys, right? There's two guys, I don't know who they are, that are knocking the door in our opinion. We think they can take a big jump and maybe do it. And then you wait until spring and you go, all right, this guy doesn't have it. We can go and have like some fallback options. And if that's the worst case, that's the worst case, because that's something we need to sacrifice to go and get a better lineup this year. Maybe that's what they do. But I think those are the needs. And I think you can kind of put them into like the highest tier of like, you really need one to two starters, like good ones. And you can maybe like mess around with the 5-6 spots, right? I always say six, because you don't ever use five starters in a season, as AJ Preller has found out the hard way in managing the San Diego Padres, because a lot of times 7 and 8 are randoms, and guys that aren't even high prospects. So outside of the only year where they made the playoffs, every single year it hasn't ended with a good starting rotation in terms of like all the injuries that you go up and down through. So you got to get at least one to two guys that are like legit, and then you can like, I guess, kind of mess around, but bullpen, not as big of a need. If you didn't really go in that heavy into bullpen, I don't care. Don't pay for bullpen, man. Like, have we not learned this over just watching how teams are built? Like, you don't pay bullpens. Doesn't work out well. I would say the next need, and this may be like a lot of people listening are probably like, I think it's first base DH. And I know that's like kind of hard on Cronenworth, but dude, at least like you can move Cronenworth around. You can do different stuff with him. Grisham, like maybe you're like, you really need to replace Grisham. At least Grisham provides some value and he's like your nine hitter. And maybe someone can come up like a Jackson Merrill. Chase, you said Jose Azucar. I don't think Jose Azucar is a good enough player to start out there. But at least like to supplement Grisham, I think that makes sense. But you need another big bat, man. Like we saw that this past year. And Garrett Cooper came in and look what happened when they had Garrett Cooper in the lineup. They're actually quite a bit better. And he wasn't even all that crazy. But you got to upgrade that first base DH spot. So that'd be my next one. And then kind of everything after that, catcher, like I said, center field, the other first base DH guy. And then depth pitching after that. I mean, I think those are all like the kind of the secondary needs, but you really got to hammer home on a couple of these spots. But overall, I think from the Padres needs perspective, I think that's all of it. I think those are the big ones. If there are names you guys want to toss out, I think that's interesting, but also, anyone, Isaac, you brought up like there's so many guys that like we're gonna have to discuss as this offseason goes on. Anyone listening, if there are guys that you guys want us to talk about, or you're like, hey, I really want the Padres to go after this guy, let us know because like that makes it easier on us because it's like, hey, people really like this guy, do we like him? And then we can go and break him down and break all the starting pitchers down or whatever that is. But in terms of that, that's kind of where I'm at. Chase, Isaac, any final thoughts on the Padres' needs this offseason?
If I were to rank them like 1, 2, 3, I'd be like, okay, first base DH, you need Bell. Like, I don't even really think it's an option. It's more of a need, or not even a want. It's more of a need. You need Bell. You need some sort of power at first base, and Bell provides you it from both sides of the plate. And it's perfect because if X has that sort of nagging injury that he did last year with his wrist again, you could arguably put X at DH and take him out of the field completely and move Cronenworth into a spot where he's more suited to at short. And it kind of kills two birds with one stone. Then I'd go starting pitching just because our farm system doesn't really have a couple of starting pitchers that are right there on the doors. We had a lot of guys that made huge strides, but they're still young. And if they were going to be anywhere, they'd be like, hey, you know what? They're going to be in the 5-6 area, and if not, they're going to piggyback off each other. And then I would go bullpen, and then that last outfield spot, just because arguably, depending on how Jackson Merrill does throughout spring training and the offseason and what the Padres like about him, you could argue that he should fill that right field spot and we should give him a shot there. But bullpen would be probably that third level. I don't think it's an immediate need. I know we had a lot of guys get injured. You're going to get Cosgrove back. You're going to get Morta Home back. You give an offseason to the guys that, hey, you know what, let's see if they can make any adjustments. We're going to sure sign a couple of guys that we like, but we're not going to break the bank on them. Yeah, we're probably going to lose Hader, but we got Suarez. We have Barlow. We got these other guys that can fill in these spots until we can find someone in the farm system that is better suited in one of these roles.
Yeah, for sure. And in terms of like how I would rank it, starting pitching probably first and then first base DH for me. I just like the idea of having multiple starting pitchers. I cannot handle seeing someone like Sean Manaea or Mike Clevenger or Rich Hill or any of those guys again. I can't do it. Now first base DH, I'm making it sound like it's like for sure I need a starting pitcher more than first base DH. Dude, first base DH is right there. It's like neck and neck because Manny Machado just got, like, this is another factor that we're not factoring in right now, is that Manny Machado just got surgery. Everyone's assuming, hey, Manny Machado is going to be back by opening day. He's not 25 no more. He's 31, 32 years old. He doesn't heal like Fernando Tatis Jr. or any of these young guys. What if he's not back? What if he's back by May? Like, who's not to say that the Padres aren't going to take a safer approach with their $35 million man, $350 million man, if you're going full contract? Then you're going to have Ha-Seong Kim playing third, Xander playing short, Krohn playing second, and who playing first? This becomes a much bigger need than we're anticipating if Manny Machado is not ready by the start of the season. So it's neck and neck. It's not a for sure thing that starting pitching is a bigger priority. No, this is a huge priority as well, because as soon as Machado comes back, that guy that you signed to play first base DH could go to DH permanently or platoon. Cronenworth becomes a valuable utility piece. So there's win, there's not a loss if you're able to sign a good first baseman. So that's just another wrinkle thrown into the fold, is that Manny Machado might not be ready by the time the season starts. I don't want to assume he will.
Yeah, I think that's super true. And this is definitely a conversation for another day, but we've kind of internally discussed, like, yeah, when Machado gets really old, man, does he profile good as a first baseman. They could do that this year. And it hurts because you're not getting the fielding at third base that you want from Manny Machado. But is it that far off? Because last time I checked, Ha-Seong Kim can play third base pretty damn good. Jake Cronenworth can play second pretty damn good. That makes more sense from a like big picture standpoint. And he also comes back earlier. We just saw Bryce Harper do the same thing. So that's something that actually could happen. And then he goes back to third after that. But something interesting. I mean, the problem is that you're like, dude, you're paying a first baseman $35 million. You got to use the cards that you were dealt at this point, like looking into the future of it. But that is an interesting conversation that maybe the Padres are already having, or maybe that we're going to talk about, you know, in spring training. We're like, oh, look, Manny just showed up and he's not really throwing or doing anything, but he's taking reps at first base. He's taking grounders at first. He's fielding first. Like, you never know. So I think that's something that maybe actually gets talked about later. But I think overall, needs-wise, I think that's it. So everyone listening, please like, sub, do all that stuff. If you're not subscribed, make sure to do that. And also comment what you think the Padres needs are right now. 1 through 3, 4, 5, however many you want to put it. Let us know, because I want to see what people are kind of thinking, because we kind of had the same thought process that we think that first base DH is a lot more important than center field. And I don't think everyone's going to share that opinion. I really don't. So I'd love to hear what you guys think, but that's going to do it for today. Tomorrow we'll have an episode on Blake Snell. And we'll be probably putting up, you know, lives every Sunday, and then 2, 3, 4 episodes a week from here on out as the off season goes on. So thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon. Have a good rest of your day.